Thank you for tuning in to Visit Vegas Places with Coil, where we showcase business owners and entrepreneurs in the fabulous city of Las Vegas and internationally. So take notes. This is Real Vegas, real topics, real business with real owners, and you just might hit the jackpot. Back this Friday, Visit Vegas Places with Coil, Real Vegas, real topics, real business with real owners. You guys, we all know Las Vegas is a great city for professional singers and band leaders. It is also a competitive one. And I have some tips for us to help you succeed for those who are moving out here to Las Vegas with the hopes to start their career. Now, you definitely want to network with other musicians. This is one of the most important things you can do both before and after you move to Las Vegas. Get to know other musicians. Start building relationships with them. You can do this by attending open mics and jam sessions. There is a lot throughout the valley. You can join online forums and social media groups. Also, make a demo reel, you guys. This is a great way to showcase your talent to potential employers. Your demo reel should include a variety of your best work, both live and in the studio. If you don't have a demo reel yet, you can start working on one now. Get experience. The more experience you have, the more likely you are to get gigs in Las Vegas. If you're not already performing regularly, start looking for opportunities to do so. You can play at open mics again, jam sessions, local clubs, and other events. And believe me, you guys, we have a slew of them here in Las Vegas, especially open mics, jam sessions, clubs. You'd be surprised how many cigar bars or other venues they have that are looking for musicians. You want to market yourself. Once you have a demo reel and some experience, start marketing yourself to a potential employers. This could involve sending out your demo reel and bio or reaching out to bookers and casino managers directly. You can also use social media to market yourself and your band, which is very, very trending. My guest today reached out to me through social media and also through email. Most importantly, be prepared to work hard, you guys. Las Vegas is a city that never sleeps, and the music scene is no exception, you guys. So remember, you guys, once you get everything that you need, all that in line, be able to start out here. Now, it can move into Las Vegas to pursue a career as a professional singer or a band leader can be a daunting task, but it's definitely possible to achieve success. And you got to follow every step, you guys. If you want to make it in Vegas, you need to be prepared to work hard and put in long hours. And now, with that being said, you guys, today my guests have conquered that journey from coast to coast using his Fender to perform acoustic and electric music. He quotes, "Once upon a time, I thought I was a musician until the day I realized that I am music. We are all music. Our very existence is music." I want to welcome you guys, Timothy Canali, a.k.a. Sonny Calzone, the ukulele hero. Sonny, thank you for
joining
me.
How's it going, Coil? Thanks for having me on the show, bro.
Man, my pleasure. I'm so happy you reached out. Timothy, I want to give you your flowers right now while we're on air for networking. Timothy emailed me. He sent a bio. He had his package ready. I mean, if you would have seen what he emailed me, I don't think no one on earth could have said no. And I want to thank you for not being afraid to reach out and connect.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate your dedication for helping those of us trying to find work and find a place and find a home, maybe even find our tribe here in Las Vegas. When you're coming to Las Vegas from another city, like I did, you mentioned right away to start off this episode, open mics, and that is an absolute great way to get out there and meet some folks and find some opportunities. And for me coming here, it was 5 years ago, so just before COVID, and I'm still thinking of myself as new in town, even though it's already been 5.5 years for me now, but But I've got experience coming into Las Vegas. I have experience in the entertainment game and the show business game, and I'm able to use that as a foundation upon which to create and manifest opportunities for myself. Now, I realize that not everyone would have anywhere near as much experience that I have had, but that's still quite okay because, you know, you can get out there and get your own experience. The big thing really is to motivate yourself. And to have confidence and to understand that, hey, listen, all it takes is really just to be in the right place at the right time, and then boom, anything can happen.
You are correct.
In order to be in the right place at the right time, you have to be at places. And so, you know, get out there and show people what you've got. And if you can bring something to the table that's a little bit different than from what others are doing around here, then that's only going to help your cause, too.
Oh, yes.
Because I play the ukulele, however you'd like to pronounce it, it sets me apart, I suppose, from the more commonplace guitar. It's not difficult to find guitar players, but to find someone who knows their way around a somewhat more of an exotic instrument, that will certainly help to create some opportunities for yourself as well. So even if you're listening to this episode right now and you're only a guitar player and you're thinking to myself, wow, you know, I only play guitar. What am I going to do to stand out from everybody else? Well, the good news is you can always challenge yourself and branch out and try different instruments and explore music, be music. And I was a singer for more than two decades, even though I no longer sing. These days, I still could, but everything's fun the first 750,000 times, and I needed some greener pastures, and I found it. You can find it too. You know, listen, whatever it takes, even if it's just trying a different genre of music, you know, whatever you can do to set yourselves apart from the rest of the pack will only help you in the long run.
Yes, I love it. That's great advice, too. Now, before we get into the ukulele hero, I want to know, share us a bit about your background and how you actually got started in the music.
Well, how I got started in music, we have to go back to the 1970s for that. Thanks to my parents, who had a great, great record collection, I was able to grow up being exposed to a lot of incredible music. My dad was into Led Zeppelin and the Stones. My mama was into the Doors and the Beach Boys and the Beatles and the Grateful Dead and the Doobie Brothers and just on and on. A lot of the popular music from that time. This was the 1970s, and they listened to a lot of music also from the 60s. So I was exposed to a lot of that, and it awoke inside of me a natural passion for music. And with my hearing loss worsening from age 3 to age 21, when the worsening finally stopped, I grew up with a very real fear of losing all hearing. So I just wanted to try to absorb as much music as I could. Eventually, I absorbed so much of it and became so passionate about it that there was absolutely no way that I could walk another path than a musical path, just because of how much of it that I absorbed and how passionate about it I became, because of how afraid I was of losing it all. So my way of coming around to it was because of fear. Now, that's unusual, and I wouldn't recommend that anyone develop a passion for music through fear. But in my case, it was a very real fear involving my deteriorating health in my ears. Right. So eventually, by the time 1991 rolled around, I joined my first band. And from there, I've been just in and out of bands over the years until about 2012. That was really my last time performing regularly or anywhere really with a band in New York.
Uh-oh.
From 2012 onwards, I just did stuff in the recording studios. So in a way, we did what the Beatles did.
Right.
When they stopped performing live and they just went into the studios to make studio albums all the time, that was sort of what we did. And for me, it made sense because the nonstop nightlife and self-destruction of the music scene in New York was real rough on me.
Mm.
And so by backing away from all that, I was able to rescue myself and reinvent myself. And instead of being this band leader who eventually went on to be someone who was out there in front of bands that would sometimes have 8 or 10 or 14 of us on stage, whether it was a full horn section or 3 or 4 backing harmony vocalists singing behind me. I was the lead singer.
Hmm.
And it was enough. It had gotten to be quite a bit much. So I wanted to remain connected to music because how could I not? And so I found another way and I became a solo artist now. I couldn't imagine sharing a stage with anyone else at this point of my life. It's so strange to think that I became someone who is just a solo artist who can still perform about 1,000 songs, but very few of them are my own original songs. Much of what I perform is cover music from the 1920s to the 1970s. Okay. And a lot of traditional standards, Great American Songbook stuff, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin,
right.
Elvis Presley, Beach Boys, Beatles, Eagles, Doors, Led Zeppelin, so on. It's really an endless list. And I like to touch upon different genres too, so I can fit in for different situations.
Right.
If you want me to play ukulele, but if you just want country western music from me, I'll do that. If you want just, you know, instrumental traditional Hawaiian melodies, then I'll give you that. It's nice to be versatile. That's another big tip for the entertainers out there. Develop your versatility. And don't paint yourself into a corner creatively. It's funny to say creatively because if I'm out there doing cover songs, yeah, how creative is that really? But the truth is you can take established music compositions and create your own arrangements for them, which is what I often do. If I'm going to do, for instance, the traditional Hawaiian wedding song from 1926, I'd be more than happy to perform it. But just know that A, I'm not an orchestra, so you're not going to get this big, lavish production. And B, you're also going to get my own arrangement of it, because part of being an entertainer or a performer is having courage. It takes courage to get up on stage. That's like 80% of the courage that you need to put on a performance, is just having the courage to get up on stage.
That is true.
So many people have stage fright. So many people have self-esteem issues that they're trying to work through. But it's good to know that you can also devote and direct some of your courage to taking a chance on developing your own arrangements of some of these more established pieces. People might hear me playing a George Gershwin song or a Rodgers and Hart song from the 1930s and recognize it. The tempo might be different. The key might be different. You can always make little changes to freshen things up a bit. Keep it interesting just for yourself and also for the audiences too. You know, give them a chance to realize that, you know, hey, music is music no matter what you do with it. If you want to speed it up or slow it down or do it in a different key, do it in a different style, play a bossa nova, maybe a version of something. Whatever you want to go for it. It's fine. There are really no rules as far as that goes. So challenge yourself, expand your horizons, and become a bit more cultured and share culture with others.
Yes. Now, you do covers. I did hear you mention that. And now with that creative side, who would you say were your musical influences growing up? And I know you mentioned some of the hits. Ooh. Yeah, some of the hits that your parents have. What about you? What were some of your influences?
Me? Well, I had all sorts of influences growing up. My favorite songwriter is still alive, bless his heart, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys from Hawthorne, California.
Hawthorne.
Your hometown, I know.
My hometown, baby.
Peace to Hawthorne. Yes. I hope to visit Hawthorne one day.
Oh, man, I wish I could take you. When you do, you let me know when you're ready.
I will let you know. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
That would be really cool. And but Brian is my number one inspiration and hero from a songwriting standpoint, and also from a resilience standpoint. Here's a guy who has overcome so many personal struggles, including a deafness not unlike my own. Right. So there's someone I've always been able to look up to. And as sort of a guiding light for me. In fact, it was Bob Dylan who once told us that Brian Wilson's good ear, because he has 96% loss in one and his other ear is okay. His good ear should go to the Smithsonian Institute eventually someday.
Wow.
Because with that one good ear, even though Brian only wrote music for mono, Brian never wrote music for stereo. He only wrote music for mono, but he was able to create these amazing multiple four-part, five-part, and more-part harmonies. And he just had this orchestra living inside his brain that he was able to be a translator for the rest of the world.
Wow.
Just a real special talent for me. So Brian was my number one. I also was a big fan of John Lennon from the Beatles. Everything that John stood for was something that made a mark on me, whether it was something I agreed with or not.
Right.
There were things John stood for that I didn't necessarily agree with. And but there was a lot that he had to say in the short time that he was with us. And I still remember being 10 years old and finding out that John had been murdered in New York City.
Hmm.
And seeing firsthand how it affected my mom and how sad it made not just her, but me. Because
right.
Remember, I had grown up listening to my parents' record
right.
collection. I was well aware of who John Lennon was. And I was also old enough to have seen the Yellow Submarine animated film. And I think also A Hard Day's Night and The Help movie, too. So I was well aware of who they were. And ever since the world lost John, it's almost as if he became a martyr, because a lot of what he stood
True.
For in terms of activism and world peace and so forth was something that really struck a chord with me. So I guess my two biggest influences, I have to say, were Brian Wilson and John Lennon. So a little something American and a little something British.
That's right. That's right. Good choices, too. Now, what could you say is your favorite song to perform and why?
My favorite song to perform on a ukulele is Surf's Up from 1966 by the Beach Boys. My favorite, it's my favorite song to perform because of how challenging it is to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Surf's Up is a song that takes place in two or three different, the entire song taken as a piece is technically a suite. Spelled S-U-I-T-E. And the suite has two or three different movements with different tempos in different keys. So if you're going to challenge yourself to play Surf's Up, when that day comes, when you finally say to yourself, I nailed it, it's such a great feeling because of how challenging it is to perform. It's even challenging to just listen to because of the journey that it takes you on. From a music standpoint. And in terms of its message that the lyrics are trying to convey, it's so open for interpretation that I think one person could tell you what Surf's Up means to them, and then I would tell you what Surf's Up means to me, and it could be two very, very different things. So it's a song that exists as both a concrete idea and also an abstract idea, too. So it's rare in that aspect. And it's rare for the Beach Boys, too, because it's not a song about girls or cars or
right.
surfing or fun with Daddy's T-Bird. It's none of that. It's really Independence Day for popular music, because here's the Beach Boys now showing you what popular music is capable of. And you don't need for every damn song to be a 2-minute single.
Right.
1966 right, was right. a very different landscape for music. And you didn't get on the radio unless you were having a song that was no longer than, 2 minutes, 10 seconds. In fact, if you had a song that was 1 minute, 50 seconds, you probably had a better chance of getting on the radio and having a hit single. Strange to think about, isn't it?
Right, that is.
How much the world has changed and how much the music landscape has changed. But to answer your question, man, Surf's Up. And I hope to play that for you live sometime. That would be a treat.
Oh, yes, it would. And I'll definitely get some great content out of that. And it all makes sense to me now, even with your favorite artist is Brian Wilson. And then with you in your quote, I can see there is a difference from one being an artist and actually just an artist and one who is one with music to where you're almost a human instrument.
Yeah, I see that, too. In fact, I see it from the inside looking out. And so for me, I guess you could say it's a little bit of an unusual perspective, because that's something that I think most people would see from the outside looking in.
Right.
But again, walk a mile in my shoes, grow up with the very real fear of losing music one day as you grow to adulthood. And it changes everything. My relationship with music and my relationship with reality in general is actually quite different from from, I think, certainly from those who have healthy hearing their entire lives.
But
music is something that also never betrays itself. It's always true to itself. And right. I like that about music. If I'm going to put on heavy metal or if I'm going to put on jazz, whatever I'm in the mood for, because I'm often in the mood for different genres.
Right.
And it always speaks to me right from its own true self, its own true source. Authenticity is everything to me as a performer. My audiences deserve that from me. So they get it.
Right.
And
right.
It's easy. It happens without any real effort on my part. Because I've been around as long as I have with the entertainment stuff, I have become, in a way, not only true to myself, but for everyone else, I'm the gold standard of authenticity. What you see is what you get. To know me is to love me. All of the above is true. There are no masks or veils with me. I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. I'm just me, and it's just honest, and it's real, and it's pure. I mean, some folks can reference me and say, oh, Timothy Connolly, yeah, that guy's talented.
Right.
And they're not wrong, but for me, it doesn't really just boil down to whether a musician is talented or not. I think there's a lot that goes into what determines if you are a successful entertainer, be it the city of Las Vegas or New York City, where I'm from, or anywhere. It could even be a suburb of Indianapolis, anywhere, really. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You're going to need a few things in your toolkit. Number one, you're going to need confidence, self-confidence. The only way to get that is to make mistakes and to learn from your mistakes. You know, don't beat yourself up if you make a mistake or if you play a note wrong or if you express yourself incorrectly during an interview. Maybe you realize later on, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I should have said something else instead. It's okay, you know. It's all right, because everything is there to teach us. Teaching you, in fact, music teaches you too. If you're a musician, it's funny because music is like a language. It's like a foreign language or an abstract language. You can play music, you can perform it, you can study it, you can practice it, and my favorite, you can think in it.
Right.
Or you can think about it or think about music. If I'm not playing music or practicing music, I'm sometimes thinking about music or thinking in music. Meaning thinking in terms of sheet music, where notes go on the paper, what happens at this bar, what happens at this measure, what happens with this and that. It's like speaking a foreign language. For instance, if I was to speak French, and I used to speak some, sometimes I would try to make myself think in French as a means of strengthening my skills with the language. As a musician, you can think in music. As a means of strengthening yourself as a musician, too. That's one of the secrets that not too many folks talk about.
Right.
But you can use your brains in that way to have a certain special connection with music in terms of thinking about it just randomly throughout the course of a day.
Right.
And or set time aside for yourself. For instance, I know at 3 p.m. today, I have to think about music for 10 minutes. Write yourself a note so that you have that little reminder for yourself so that you don't stray too far from what centers you as an entertainer. If music is your medium as an entertainer, then, you know, find ways to keep yourself connected. That's all.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, all my audience that are listening, you guys can also book Timothy Sonny Calzone. You can book him. He's going to explain.
This is true.
Yes. So he provides services actually through the valley in Henderson, Las Vegas, and Boulder City, you guys. Let us know, Timothy, about your services you have to offer to the public and some of the prices.
Absolutely. Well, as a performing ukulele musician, I perform usually private parties and weddings. And when I perform, I also have performance partners that I can offer as add-ons. For instance, if you want my friend Shannon to come and be a mermaid, she'll wear a mermaid costume and she'll enhance your party or corporate event or wedding or whatever it might be. I also have my friend Jill, who will come and be a vintage pinup model for you if you want a vintage pinup model at your party or whatever it is. And I also have a walk-around musician. That's my friend Holly. And I have a chanteuse. That is my friend Army, and a top-notch photographer if you need a photographer. Technically not a performance partner per se, but it's fun to have a great photographer around, and she'll gladly come if she's available to join me at any events which I might be booked for. Now, my rates are seasonal. Right now we are in the season of autumn. Unless you are in the southern hemisphere, then you are currently enjoying the season of spring. Strange how that works, but here in Las Vegas, we are in the northern hemisphere, so it is autumn for us. My autumn rates are different from my summertime rates. My summertime rates were $150 per hour within a 10-mile driving distance of where I live. If it's beyond 10 miles, the rate goes up $100 per hour. But now that's summertime rates. Here in autumn, my rates are $250 per hour, and that's within 10-mile driving distance of where I'm situated in the Green Valley Ranch area of Henderson. And but if I would need to drive any farther than that, I'd be more than happy to do so, but my rate goes up from $250 to $350 per hour. And also, if I would be starting my performance time any later than 7 o'clock p.m., my hourly rate goes up another $100 an hour. And that's generally really because I am someone who, for health reasons, has an 8 p.m. curfew, and at 9 p.m. lights out. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. I'm very oriented towards early mornings, waking up around 3:30, 4 a.m. each day. Doesn't matter what day it is. So I can meditate and exercise and get myself ready for the day ahead. Generally good stewardship of the good gifts that I can offer to the world. And this is why I don't do public appearances all that often. I do enjoy public appearances too, such as fundraisers or benefits for charity, or if someone's having a ribbon cutting, or if the city of Las Vegas wants me to come and perform for July 4th, which I did, or September 11th, which I was willing to do, but then they stopped funding for entertainment for that event. But anyway, so there are opportunities left and right for me to get out there and enjoy public stuff, even open mics or jam sessions or whatever, that sort of thing. But I tend to do a lot less and less of that now, so I can save my strength for when it really matters, the private parties, the weddings, right, the corporate events, and so forth. The people who are really going to appreciate it and right, at the same time open more doors for more windows of opportunity for me to keep getting myself out there and find more avenues where I can find ways to keep food on my own table and keep my lights on and all that. You know, public stuff is fun, but it doesn't really put food on table or keep lights on. And I'm also not 12 years old anymore. Right. And so it's nice to get out there and to know your worth and to not sell yourself short. And in my case, since I'm out there doing ukulele stuff, and since my repertoire consists of 1,000 songs from the 1920s to the 1970s, I can get out there as a unicorn, providing and offering a service that really no one else around here can. And plus, coming from New York City, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, as the old Frank Sinatra song goes. I've got the chops. I've got the notches on my belt. I've got the business acumen. I know how to be on my best behavior at all times. I know how to be very professional at all times. I know how to be punctual. I know how to express gratitude afterwards, and so forth. There are lots of reasons why talent bookers and booking agents want to book people like me. And that's because of how I carry myself, how I conduct myself, how much confidence I have in myself and my ability to deliver a good show. Even though my shows are just instrumental with no singing, it's wonderful background music, whether it's for a red carpet event or a black tie event, something fancy. Could be a gala, could be a banquet, could be anything, you know, like that, where you just have some sort of music in the background. Now, my playing style is also not rhythmic. A lot of people associate ukulele music with rhythm play. And rhythm playing is cool, and a lot of people do play rhythm. I am a melodic player. So with my style being a melodic, I'm using all of my fingers when I play. I never play with a pick, and I rarely play rhythmically. I can make my instrument sound like a harp, and I've been told by others who have been in another room hearing me but not seeing me, just hearing me, and then walking into the room and being just absolutely gobsmacked that someone is doing this on a ukulele. And It's just, it's amazing for them to be able to experience something like this, something like me, a talent like mine, for their first time. Someone with my Perfect. Disabilities and my Right. my inability to hear. So what I'm doing is I'm feeling music. I'm not so much hearing music. It's a strange thing to talk about. I realize that most folks don't have hearing loss. Again, you know, to experience me is to experience something pretty special, and to experience the music that I help to keep alive too is special too. There is a lot of great music from the 20th century that gets forgotten about now, but I owe such a great debt of gratitude to music that I don't think I can ever fully repay. But I'm happy to have the opportunities in my own little ways to get out there and at least try to pay it back somewhat.
Form is at its finest. I love it. Now, most of my listeners and in the audience that are listening, Vegas, we know we love our backyard venues and our events, whether they're weddings, parties, and of course our corporate get-togethers. Now, I see everyone that I interview, a lot of food and chefs. You guys order the food there. I've been to events where the food is good. We have the food. Now we're sitting around bored. Now you guys have Timothy. You guys can order your food to get catered, and Timothy can be there again with that background music, which sets a perfect setting for conversations and networking while the party is going on, you guys. And also, you can get all his links right here in the show notes. You can get his links. I also have his YouTube is in the show notes. You can see some of his previews before actually booking him. So all the links are right there in the show notes to connect with Timothy, okay? Now, Timothy, we're going to get into this or that, find out whether you like this or that, and I'm going to see how very, very Vegas you are, okay?
Sounds right. Good.
So the first one with this or that, meaningful music, what do you feel was made more in the 70s or 80s?
Meaningful music was made more in the 1970s.
Yes.
Because music was still being made in analog recording studios before the age of digital.
Right. I remember that too. I remember when I first started getting into music, we used to have the ADATs. And I remember when you messed up, they used to you used to be mad because you had to really be on professional. You had to get your take right because those ADATs weren't cheap, and you couldn't.
I know.
Just...
I remember.
Remember the ADATs? Oh yeah. All right. So the next one we have, when it comes to spaghetti, we're going to end this battle. A lot of people have battled with this spaghetti sauce. Do you like it on top of your noodles or mixed together when served?
Wow.
Right.
I have to choose between only those two things. Okay. I am going to say I like it on top of the yes. spaghetti, so I can then just sort of mix it in the Ooh. Way I want it as I'm eating it. So it becomes a work in progress almost.
Right. I love that answer. I love it too. And sometimes if I don't eat it all, I like to keep it in place. So I mix what I eat. So if I don't eat all of it, it's still, you know, sitting pretty.
That's cool. You and I are birds of a feather then.
Yes, sir. All right. So now when it comes to you performing, and we're going to speak during the COVID, and I know you experienced this, did you find it more engaging to do personal live or virtual live events?
During the COVID times?
Correct.
I did no events. I did no events. I could not find a comfort zone for myself personally to be able to get out there.
Gotcha.
And so I figured, let's just wait and see. And okay. I'm glad I did, because now that that is in the rearview mirror for, I don't want to say all of us, but I know because some of us, unfortunately, are still struggling with COVID or no right. loved ones who are struggling. But
right.
But for those of us who are or have been blessed enough to not struggle like myself, it's nice to be able to get back out there and see that the performance venues are open to performances happening there again. And but man, I wish, looking back on it, I feel like it was a missed opportunity for me to not at least make more of an effort to right. try to get out there during the COVID times and at least do some stuff at the cafes or the smaller performance locations, you know?
Right.
But it all turned out for the best.
Are you able to perform live though, like on like a TikTok or Facebook? Could you do live music where your audience can go on live?
I am almost a caveman in a way when it comes to technology.
Okay.
And I think if someone was to show me step by step how to do that, like hands on, show me how it's done.
Oh man.
Then I think I could do it. But I
just set you up for that. I set you up to tell me that because that's music to my ears. I would love to teach you how to do it on TikTok because I can really see you monetization on all that. If
that
I can set you up on TikTok, you will be monetized for your live performance because it seems like you're the type, the people who win are the ones who go on live the most. And I can see you, once you learn, you will hold no bars on going live.
I think that would be cool. A friend of mine was recently telling me about this thing called Facebook Reels.
Correct.
And how you can do reels on Facebook, and it's a similar situation where somehow you get paid for doing it. And I don't understand the business model, quite frankly, but apparently you can get some money doing that sort of thing. So, Coyle,
yes.
Who knows, man? Maybe you and I will get together on this at some point soon.
We are. That's like real important to me. So when we get together, we're going to at least set aside like at least 30 minutes where I can run it down to you and then teach you some things to get you going, okay?
That is music to my ears. Thank you.
All right. Now we're going to see how very, very Vegas you are, okay? Give you a trivia question on Las Vegas, and then I'm going to give you three multiple choices to pick from, okay?
All right.
So the question is to see how very, very Vegas you are. All right. So who is the only professional singer and band leader to have headlined all three of the following Las Vegas showrooms, the Sands, the Sahara, and the Tropicana? So I went old school. Who is the only professional singer and band leader to have headlined all three of the following Las Vegas showrooms, the Sands, the Sahara, and the Tropicana? Is it A, Frank Sinatra? Is it B, Wayne Newton? Or is it C, Usher?
Those are great options. And I am going to say, and I hope the Sinatra fans out there in the world are going to forgive me for saying this, but I am going to guess B, Wayne Newton.
Ding, ding. You have it correct. I knew musicians do know their stuff. So Wayne Newton is a legendary Las Vegas entertainer who has been performing in the city for over 50 years, you guys. He's known for his extravagant productions and his wide vocal range. Newton has headlined showrooms at all of the major Las Vegas casinos. He is the only professional singer and band leader to have done so. He is a true Las Vegas icon. Yes, he is.
Much respect to Wayne Newton.
Yes, sir. He has paved the way.
And much respect to Frank Sinatra and Usher, too. I mean,
correct.
You know, I don't want to take anything away from those guys.
Oh, no.
So I was right. So what do I win? I'm so excited for my prize.
Oh, you're going to be on TikTok by 2024 and getting money from your music online. I guarantee you that.
Excellent.
I guarantee you that.
I like the sound of that.
All right. Now, Timothy, man, this was a pleasure having you on. I can't wait to create content with you doing your event. Also, now you have me going. I'm going to get stuff together for you to get you set up on live, to get you going, because I can already vision. I can vision it. When you said it, I can just picture it already. So I have to bring
this
to
you. Oh, man, let's
do it. I got you, man. Now, before we head out, it's important. Do you have any shouts out that you want to give out to?
Any shouts out? Well, I have to shout out my mama because
yes.
At heart, I'm a mama's boy.
Yes.
And my mama is currently in New York City where she just recently flew last week to go back to New York to help a friend of hers. Her friend recently lost her eyesight.
Mm.
And so my mama went back to New York to be her friend's caregiver for about a year or so. I think that's the plan. So mama's got a heart of gold. And
yes.
I think I owe everything that I am today to my mama. So big shout out to my mama. I love you, mama, if you're listening. And even if you're not listening, I love you all the same. So there's my shout out, Coyle. How's that?
Oh, yes. Thank you, mama, for producing a great man. He's a great man. Thank you.
She did all right.
Oh, yes. Now, I want to thank you for joining us, you guys, again. Sonny Calzone. the ukulele hero, baby. Check out his music. Check out his social media platforms. He's on Facebook also, you guys. And he has a YouTube. And I have all the links in the show notes. Definitely reach out to book him for your next event, birthday parties, weddings, or your corporate event, you guys. Have some good music playing in the background. It sparks up the nice engagement and interaction with your party and gets the networking going, you guys, okay? And I want to thank you guys for listening, okay? Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you download the episode and also connect with Timothy Sonny Calzone. I want to thank you now, okay? And I'll be seeing you, Sonny, okay?
Thank you, man. Visit Vegas Places is the best.
Appreciate it. I love you guys, and I thank you for listening. You guys could have listened and been anywhere on Fridays, but you're here with us, and we thank you. And we'll see you guys next Friday. And I'll see you soon, Sonny. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to follow, subscribe, and download. Also, you can email us. Email the show. Any questions, you can email us at visitvegasplaces@gmail.com. And that's visitvegasplaces@gmail.com. And you can also support the show. Support is always welcome. Make sure you can follow the link inside the show notes. And that is on Cash App, $VisitVegas, $VisitVegas. Follow us on all social media platforms, you guys. And that's at Visit Vegas Places. And that's whether it's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the good stuff. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you next Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time Standard.